Hey guys, and welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Today we'll be discussing the original Amityville Horror from 1979, directed by Stuart Rosenberg. We'll also be continuing our Ty West path with House of the Devil from 2009. And we'll quickly revisit the end of The Innkeepers as promised from the last episode, because Carly and I were confused and arguing, and we neither of us really knew what was going on. But first, let's get started with a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
It's so out of place, but I love putting it in there.
It's so good. I love it.
The first of our trailers today is Let Her Out, written and directed by Cody Callahan, whose previous efforts were Antisocial and Antisocial 2, which are virus/zombie type movies. I've never heard of them.
Me either.
Yeah. It had its premiere at Fright Fest last August, and there's no VOD release date quite yet. I'm sure that's coming. So this trailer looks pretty good. It looks really gritty and like body horror-ish, which is right up my alley, as we all know.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I can't, honestly, like, I can't really form an opinion about it for some reason. Like, I feel like this, it could go either way.
Well, there's so much they don't show. Like, yeah. It's not like the trailers we're used to.
That where they overshare.
Show, which are like 5 hours long and basically show the whole movie. This is like, it's short and sweet, and it just kind of gives you the feeling of what the movie might be. It's, I kind of like that, though. Like, that's usually your complaint about trailers, Carly.
Well, I mean, you kind of get a little bit of information because she has like her... twin essentially growing inside of her, taking over her body.
Yeah, which is so creepy. Yeah, when you say it like that, it sounds really creepy.
Her like unformed twin that's stuck inside her body.
Oh my God. It's terrifying.
Yeah, so I feel like good, you know, interesting premise, and I'd watch it.
Yeah, I'm definitely gonna watch it. There's like weird body horror I'm in. Like,
yeah. You love it.
I'm such a weirdo. I'm okay with it. Okay, so that's Let Her Out. You guys can find that trailer anywhere. It's really easy to find. The next trailer we watched was Amityville Awakening, because it's on theme with our Amityville episode here. It's due for theatrical release on January 6th, so coming up soon. It's directed by Frank Calhoun.
Yeah,
that's right?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Nailed it.
Thank you. I'm so proud of myself. His previous efforts were I Lived, Maniac, Wrong Turn at Tahoe, P2. He also has a second horror film coming out later in 2017 called Prey, but there's no trailer for that, and I have very little information. But Maniac, I mean, the remake of Maniac's pretty good and pretty widely viewed as a good film.
I remember P2 coming out in theaters, but I don't think I ever saw it.
I feel like that's streaming, or I've seen it streaming somewhere. I should check that out, because I liked Maniac, although I'm gonna say right now Amityville Awakening looks like utter garbage. But
it was so funny. I'm gonna tell the story of I forgot to watch it, and so before Amy and I started recording, I was like, I'm gonna watch it real fast, and I kind of looked it up, and it's starring Bella Thorne and oh my gosh, I totally blanked on Jennifer, what's her name, I'll remember in a second, and then Cameron Monaghan from Shameless. And I was like, oh great, like I love him, that's cool, like. And then Amy was like, well, he doesn't really do much acting. And then I watched it, and I literally laughed for probably the first 30 seconds of the trailer, because if you haven't seen it yet, watch it, and you'll get it. And it was wonderful.
So this movie just basically looks like if Insidious and the first season of American Horror Story had a baby.
Which it's from the the producers, right, of Insidious, The yeah. Conjuring, and Paranormal Activity, I believe.
Which honestly means nothing to me.
Other it really
than,
doesn't.
It really, like, if,
they got money from these people.
Yeah, when people say, oh, these from the makers of, that means jack shit to me. I know that that's just a bullshit way to get people to watch it. Pay attention to the directors, pay attention mm-hmm. to the writers, pay attention to nothing else, because fuck. I mean, the production company, sure, if it's like Blumhouse or something that, like, does certain types of movies, fine, but when it says things like that, it's just like a way to get you to see it. It's not a thing.
Like I remember when Eli Roth came out with all of his movies, and Quentin Tarantino is like a huge backer, and so Quentin Tarantino put all of his names right. on all the Eli Roth movies, and so
yeah.
people were like expecting it to be Quentin Tarantino movies, basically, but it mm-hmm. was Eli Roth, and it literally just said Quentin Tarantino presents.
Fuck, I remember that. I saw a lot of fucking shitty movies in college because of that. That's yeah. probably how I learned that lesson.
That's how I learned it. I was like, I learned that hard lesson.
As like a 19-year-old, like, fuck you, Quentin Tarantino. You didn't do shit for this movie. It's horrible. God damn it. Fooled.
And that's probably why I like am not a huge fan of Eli Roth. That's why I probably dislike him more than I would have.
I'll tell you right now, you're not a fan of Eli Roth because Eli Roth is just not that great. I'm sorry.
But I mean, it's probably why, like, if I would have just seen Eli Roth movies, I would have been like, whatever. But because I was deceived so harshly, yeah. I was like, fuck that guy.
Yeah, that's true. That does make it worse for sure. But it doesn't help that he's not awesome either. Okay, sorry, Eli Roth. You're way more talented than me. Don't be offended by anything I say.
Love you as the bear Jew. I'll yeah. say that.
Okay, so are we ready to just jump in? I mean, do you want to talk about Amityville Awakening, the trailer, actually? Because we didn't actually do that. Other than it looks like Insidious.
Looks not great, but I'll see it, probably, so whatever.
Fuck, I
I like Cameron Monaghan, honestly. I will see anything that he's in.
I might sit this one out. It looks really not interesting.
It looks bad, and it doesn't make sense why they needed it to be in Amity, because it doesn't really look like there's much to do about it.
Because they want to use the Amityville name, because it's just, I'm so tired of it. Like, if it wasn't Amityville, like, no one would see it, though, right? Because it looks like every other ghost horror movie that's come out in the past 5 years. Like, there's nothing yeah. interesting here. It's not anything new. They're just recycling old shit and trying to make money off of it and stamping the word Amityville on it because there's another way to get a few more viewers. It's lame, and it's tired, and I'm exhausted from Amityville.
Yeah, I don't know. I watch it. To Netflix.
Okay. Well, you watch it and then
I'll let you know how it goes.
You can let me know because I think I might, unless someone says this movie's amazing, maybe I'll watch it, but I don't think I'm going to seek this one out on my own. Let's just jump into Amityville since we're talking about Amityville anyway.
Yes, let's do it.
Okay. I was talking to Carly about this before and I was like, you know, I typed in Amityville in IMDb trying to find my Amityville, the one from 79 that we're discussing today with James Brolin, and so many movies popped up. So it is amazing how many movies alone got made with the Amityville title. I'm going to read them for you now.
I wonder who saw all of these. If there's anyone out there who's seen everyone.
Okay, so I took if you exist, I'll talk to you. Please let me know. I'm interested in what's the best ones to watch. So basically, I took every Amityville title that there was on IMDb. I got rid of all of the TV shows because there was an Amityville TV show back in the day. I got rid of all the TV episodes that referenced Amityville because there was quite a few of those. And I got rid of all the shorts. Like, these are all full-length movies. Ready? Here we go. The Amityville Horror, the one we're discussing. Amityville 2, The Possession. Amityville 3D. Amityville, The Evil Escapes. The Amityville Curse. Amityville, It's About Time. Amityville, A New Generation. Amityville Dollhouse. The Amityville Horror. That's the remake. The Real Amityville Horror. On Location, The Amityville Horror. The Amityville Haunting. My Amityville Horror. The Amityville Asylum. The Amityville Playhouse. Amityville Death House. Amityville Terror, The Amityville Legacy, Amityville No Escape, Amityville High, Amityville Vanishing Point, Amityville The Awakening, that's the new one, Amityville Exorcism, also due for 2017 release. Holy shit.
Amityville Vanishing Point just makes me think of, like, Amityville Horror mixed with Vanishing Point and some, like, weird, like, 70s car chase film.
I don't know what the fuck they're doing, you guys. I'm, like, out of breath what? From reading all those. There's five Amityville movies in development. Those are Amityville, The Beginning, Amityville Bulldozer. What? Amityville Bulldozer? Okay. Amityville The Legacy 3D, Return to Amityville, and The Amityville Credo. Motherfucker.
Seems excessive.
Can we stop with Amityville now, please? Can we just stop? And are That's any crazy. Of the movies actually good?
No.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, some of them are decent, but none of them are that great. Like, even the 79 version, no. I mean, we'll talk about it, obviously. But why are there so many? They're just, it's just a marketing shit show. Like, stamp Amityville on your movie and get more people to watch it.
Yeah.
Like, how much longer is this shit gonna last? Like, the only good representation I've seen of Amityville is in Conjuring 2. And it lasted 10 minutes, and that's about as long as it should last.
Yeah, that was a good length of time.
It was great. It was a little bit scary. We got the feel for it. We already know what happens. We don't need any more.
Like, we got that awesome image.
Fuck.
That, like, the one that Lorraine Warren, or their photographer took.
Yeah.
In the house with, the like, the creepy little boy face.
Creepy boy face, yeah.
Liked
creepy
it.
Boy face. That creepy Liked boy it. Face is scarier than any of these movies combined.
It's true. I actually remember when the remake came out, and I was like, oh, like, I think I saw the old one. And then I would, like, was at work, and I was, you know, looking up Amityville Horror, and I saw that picture, and I was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Terrifying.
Yeah, for sure. Man, there's just so many. I was baffled by that. And there was a TV show, and there were a bunch of, like, shorts. Like, it's just insane.
Yeah, that's
it's
so crazy.
Crazy. And to have seven, and to have five in production. Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. 5 of these are 2016 releases. And there's 2 for 2017 already.
I just want to know what happened, because, I mean, they took a break, it looks like, between, like, 96 and 2005,
yes. Yeah.
And then another one between 2005 and 2011.
Well, that's
and
when
now
they run out of,
like,
ideas.
They're, like, gung-ho on, like...
And then all of a sudden there's, like, well, I think some of these are probably related. I do.
I think some of them are, like, features from the maybe, like, the remake or something like that, like, On Location, Amityville Horror.
And some of these are documentaries, for sure. Like, we watched one of these as a documentary. But still, Jesus. Fuck. And we're from New York, so, mm-hmm. like, we're well aware. Like, I lived on Long Island for, like, what, a year or something, and I used to pass Amityville all the time. And I remember the first time I passed Amityville, I was like, oh, Amityville! And my friend that I was with is like, no. It's just, like, a nice little, like, freaking Long Island town. Like, it's not anything, like, exciting.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's not.
It's not what you think.
And it's not. And the poor people that live in this house or have lived in this house, like, just get bombarded by shit and, like, people just fucking appearing at their home to check it out.
Which the house is up for sale now. And if I was on the East Coast, I would absolutely pretend to be a potential buyer to go check it out.
Right.
I would.
For sure.
I would do that.
Because we're shitty people, just like the people that ruin this house.
I would do it with an appointment.
That's true. And we would not leave trash. We would be respectful of the house.
Exactly.
You know, because we were discussing this via text, I think, that we were like, we should buy this, turn it into a bed and breakfast. Like, there's no way you can't make money off of that.
True. I'm
sorry. If that many people are that interested in it, I mean, if you want to make money off of Amityville, that's the fucking way to do it. Buy the house. It's up for sale right now.
Seriously. And it's only, like, what, $850,000 is the last thing that I saw.
A mere $850,000.
Which, I mean, for that size house,
yeah,
it's huge. And there's, like, a boathouse, and then there's, like, another little house, and there's a pool.
Right. No, it's insane.
It's a big house.
It is crazy. And the movie in the 79 version, it went for what, 80 grand?
I actually was laughing about that because in the movie, he's like, they're like, it's only $80,000. And he's like, it might as well be $800,000. And I was like, fast forward. And it totally is on sale for $850,000. And I like chuckled to myself as I'm sitting there watching this movie alone.
Right. All right. Let's jump into the 79 one. This stars Margot Kidder. Love me some Margot Kidder. I love her. Because Black Christmas is one of my favorites, and I just love her. It's not about Superman at all. I just love her from Black Christmas. And also we have James Brolin, the James Brolin, with his in all of his bearded glory.
Yeah. Heyo!
Oh my goodness. Love me some James Brolin. And this movie is about an hour or two long, approximately.
I'm not even going to lie. In the middle of it, I took, like, a cat nap. and I woke up and nothing still had happened.
Oh, girl, I split this movie in half. I did not watch it in one straight shot. I don't think I've done that since the first time I saw it. Because it's really slow. It's not that things don't happen. Like, stuff happens, but for some reason, it's just not interesting enough to, like, pique your interest.
It makes sense because they do it, you know, day by day.
Yeah.
But it's, like, not completely necessary. But, I mean, it makes sense that they did it so tediously, I guess.
Yeah.
But for me, it's just the story. I don't know. I guess I should let it kind of off the hook because it's, like, based off of quote-unquote true events. But, like, the payoff wasn't enough. For me, to stick with it for so long.
I agree. But the first time I saw it when I was a kid, this was probably one of the first ones I saw. It was on TV, which has probably made it way more watchable because I probably cut out like a ton of stuff. But like, you know, some of the stuff is effective. Like, it's just like, I think the scenes with the priest trying to bless the house, it's pretty effective. And like, you know, there's some good stuff in there. It's just like, you know, it's by today's standards, it's very bland. I think maybe in 79, they made it so that more people would go see it, not just horror movie people. That's kind of the feel I got for it, right? Like, I would
100% agree. Like, there's a lot of stuff in this movie that's super effective. I also saw it when I was little. And I mean, to this day, the main things, even though I haven't seen the movie in a really long time, the fly scene always sticks out with me. Mm-hmm. And then the hands getting smashed in the window scene always sticks out to me.
Yeah.
So I definitely agree that this movie did a lot of really awesome things.
Yeah.
It's just a little too long, which.
This movie came out in 79 and the murders happened in 74. 75. Mm-hmm. So, like, this is only 5 years after the murders. Plus, you know, there was that period of time when it was for sale and then the Lutzes were living there. So, like, this had to be really pretty quickly, a couple years after this was a thing. And this was a big thing when it happened, right? Like, this was all over the news and stuff.
Oh, yeah.
This
is basically, like a wide-released TV movie, I feel.
Right. So it makes sense that they would try to make it scary to, like, the standard moviegoer than to make it a literal horror movie. And I definitely get that feel because it's 79. It's not like, it feels more like a 50s horror movie than a movie from 79 in terms of the scares. Like, it's more of a thriller almost than a horror movie because there's nothing really terrifying happening. There's no jump scares. There's nothing really very gory. It's just very mild.
I almost feel like it's really not, I feel like it was kind of made not even to be a horror movie, but obviously the Amityville Horror, because what happened was horrific to this family.
Right.
But I really do feel like it was just supposed to be a true story movie. After watch, because we watched this, we watched a documentary that's also on Hulu called My Amityville Horror. Mm-hmm. And even like in the movie where he looks up and sees like the demon with the red eyes that can kind of be taken. Like that's actually what they said that they saw.
Yeah.
So it definitely feels like it wasn't meant to be a horror movie. It's just like, this is based off of true events. This is what they said happened.
Yeah. And just to reiterate, the My Amityville Horror is a documentary, and it follows Danny, the oldest son, as an adult trying to deal with this, that would happen to him, and pretty much what his life is like, and him telling stories about it. And he talks to a psychologist during the documentary, and pretty much the psychologist is trying to help him figure out, like, if this is something that really happened, or if he's remembering it. He has some memories, and then also it's clouded by the movies and, like, the books, and if he's really remembering what happened to him, or if his memories are getting clouded with these other things. It's a pretty interesting documentary. It's not great, but it's, if you're into Amityville, like, it's kind of an interesting thing to watch, to see what this kid grew up to be and what happened to him. And he had a really hard life, like, minus Amityville, this kid had a really fucked up, like, difficult life, and it's pretty apparent that it's affected him in a major way.
Oh yeah, he's definitely super affected, and I really do, especially after watching the movie. I mean, regardless of what you might think, this is what he believes. Like, he actually, like, this happened to him as far as he's concerned. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, but the way he describes everything, it's exactly like the 79 movie.
Yeah.
But they didn't mention if he'd seen the movie or not. Like, if that happened to me, I would not watch that movie. I don't think I would ever watch it. Would
you? I don't know.
If you had this terrible experience and they were going to be like making it into some Hollywood film, you think you'd watch it and relive all those experiences again? Like,
I mean, maybe if I was a kid trying to, like,
that's true. He was really young.
Figure it out.
Yeah.
But I don't know if something like, maybe if it was like, I don't know, maybe if it was something like a haunting or something like that. Obviously, like, not if it was like something like super like tragic and whatever, but like, I don't know. Maybe if I was a kid and I was trying to figure out what happened in my youth, but
yeah,
especially it's something that he's so identified with. It seems like,
yeah. And I felt like in the old movie, like, the characters seemed less like the real people. They didn't feel like the Lutzes that I'd seen in interviews or read about. They seemed more like happy-go-lucky family of five. And, you know, it wasn't that way. They weren't happy. Like, I felt that the remake did a better job of portraying the family almost.
I definitely agree. They, in the original, the kids were like kind of like a footnote a little bit. It was, which, I mean, I guess it makes sense because, like you said, it came out so close after the murders actually happened, and the family was super protective of their kids and didn't want anybody going near them.
Right.
You know?
Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about some things. Let's try to start off on a positive jumping off point here. Let's talk about some of the ways that this film is successful. What are some of the successes of this film? I mean, I feel like
Definitely.
It's way more difficult than I thought. I was like, what's good? Let me think.
Definitely that imagery of the completely terrifying things that happened. So.
Yeah, it does seem accurate.
And,
yes.
Yeah.
From what I've read and what I've seen in that documentary, it does seem very truthful and to what actually happened in a lot of ways, like the window scene and I love the babysitter. She's amazing with her headgear.
With her headgear. It made me feel like I was there.
I loved her. I wanted to, like, have the whole movie be about her. That's insane. Why would they pick her to look like that?
Because she's a babysitter and all babysitters are nerds, apparently. I was totally a babysitter.
She's like knocking on the door. It's like comical. That scene where she's locked in the closet is comical. I was
And they're
laughing.
like, chick, door doesn't lock.
Yeah.
And she's like, it wouldn't open. And he,
It
I like that James Brolin's like, no, look.
was
And he goes inside and he's like, you just walk right out. And she's got
That
like
poor
bloody
fucking girl.
hands.
Like, how do they not believe her at all? That's so mean.
It's so
That's
mean.
it's so mean. He's such a dick. I love it. But there are definitely parts where like James Brolin I felt like was supposed to be more of a dick, like initially. You know? Like I felt like he turned into a dick throughout the movie as because he was possessed or whatever. But
I mean, I feel like he started out kind of like that,
yeah.
which I do. Well, like the remake isn't necessarily my favorite. There are things that I like. I like the beginning of that one better.
Right, I do too. I thought the beginning was actually really good, and I was like, oh, maybe this movie will be good. No, it's not, but the beginning's good. It
I
starts off
really
really
like that
good.
first scene.
Yeah.
I really like that he when he's away from the house, he's normal.
Yeah.
When he comes back to the house, he's more like possessed or grumpy, I
But I don't
guess.
know that that's realistic. Not that any of it's realistic, but you
I
know,
mean, I don't
like,
think that it is either
yeah.
necessarily.
Yeah. But it makes for a better movie, that's for
Yeah.
sure. I think, but in, let's talk about the original a little bit more because I
Yeah.
know we're gonna keep jumping back to the remake a little bit, but let's wait till the end of this to talk about that because we should talk about just this movie for a minute. I think,
I
you
want
know,
to know
like,
where you get Jody from, because obviously Jody not a DeFeo that was murdered.
right, in real life, you mean?
Yeah,
But in both movies, it's a
but in
Jody.
both movies they have a Jody, and in the second movie, sorry to bring it back, but they make it seem like she's like the littlest sister.
Yeah.
But in the first movie, they don't really mention that, so.
No, it's weird because they don't explain anything in the first movie. Like
Yeah.
nothing is explained at all. And things that should be really easy to figure out aren't. Like, who are these children? I didn't know who those fucking kids were for like an hour. I was
Yeah.
like, I don't know who these are you did you get them 'cause your sister died? Like, where did these kids come from? That you said are 'cause when they're looking at the house and he's joking like, "Oh, we already have kids." And she's like, "Aha, you shouldn't do that." I'm like, "Well, it's, yeah, but they are your kids." Like, I don't know. I guess it's the 70s. People don't like to talk about, Brady Bunch's houses, you know, divorce and things like that were still pretty taboo. So maybe that's the joke.
Yeah.
But by today's standards, when I watch them, I'm like, God, why don't you just say that they're your kids and then you got divorced and this is your new marriage? Like, I don't know why you didn't just say that because I had no
Yeah.
idea what was
I
going
thought it
on.
was really interesting in real life that like the first husband was like just didn't want any relationship with the kids.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
It is really sad. But okay, so some of the things that really happened supposedly, whether or not you believe it is irrelevant, but according to the Lutzes, you know, the toilet had the black stuff in it that smelled really bad and they showed that. They had the flies, which they showed a lot, like
A lot.
too many fly scenes. One or two fly scenes is plenty.
What was with all the super close-up fly scenes? I hated it.
Because it's just not necessary.
I
I don't
hated
know.
that.
Too many scenes of Josh or James Brolin staring into the fire. Like way too many of those. Just like a lot of we get it. There's demons. And I don't understand. I like how we were gonna like talk about the positive things and I'm just jumping into what I hated about it. Because there really just there's not that many positive things. It's just not. Like it might have been an accurate portrayal in some parts of the movie, but the majority of it's made up BS. Like there's so much like religious stuff, and granted, the Conjuring movies have the religious stuff too, and Ed and Lorraine are very religious people. But like, why do you need a sister that's a nun, and then also the priest? Is that I don't think that really happened, at least not from my recollection. Like, just
I don't know
like the
if the nun
priest
thing
thing is
happened.
real.
Yeah, the priest thing happened, but obviously, like, the movie wasn't about the priest. So
No.
it to for us to see so many interactions of him at the parish and
too,
going
too
blind,
many. I
it
don't
really
know why
didn't
they
add to
kept
the
showing
story.
him. No, not at
Yeah,
all.
it didn't add to the story.
And the whole thing with the sergeant didn't turn into anything.
Yeah.
Like, he investigates and then nothing happens. Like, why
Yeah.
didn't you keep going with that storyline? If you're gonna have that as a B storyline, like, have that as a fucking B storyline. Have it amount to something. Because
Yeah.
it's a dead end and then it ends, like, nothing happens. Like, I don't need to know about the priest. That whole part just felt like they were trying to piggyback off of some, like, exorcist money. Like, that's all it felt like.
Yeah.
And then the demons affecting the religious people only, and they get sick. I'm like, if you can make people sick and like blind and shit like that, and you're a demon, like why aren't you just doing that to the family in there? Like
Yeah.
why, like why bother? Why
Yeah.
bother doing anything else? Like if that's your main objective is to kill them, then just kill them because apparently you
Well,
can
I
do
don't think
that.
it was, though. I mean, at least not maybe from the movie standpoint, but at least in the real life, they were like, it didn't feel like that they wanted them to leave, but it also was kind of just like into messing with them. I don't really
But the
know,
main thing is that the
obviously.
dad killed, they wanted the demons wanted the dad to kill the family. Like,
Well, that's what we know because that's kind of how media portrays it and the movies portray it. But at least in the documentary thing, it didn't seem like that. It just
That's
seemed
true.
like they didn't have a very positive family life, and so the negative energy that they kind of brought into the house was like exacerbated by this negative presence or
And that's
demonic
something I could
presence.
buy into. Why don't they make a movie like that?
I don't know
I
because
mean,
they
don't
want
make a
it to
movie.
be
Please, no one
Hollywood.
make another
Yeah.
Amityville movie, but
No more. No
but
more
upon
Amityville.
retrospect, like that would have been more interesting. There was some James Brolin tighty whitey shots. How did you feel about those?
I was good. I was okay with it.
You're okay.
I was like, "Hey, James, what up?"
Yeah. And Harry the dog. Harry the dog is lovely.
Dog.
One of my favorite dogs.
He helped him out of the goo.
Oh, love that dog.
Me
Loved
too.
Harry.
Harry,
I wrote
good
Harry the dog in notes and put little hearts because I liked him.
boy. He's a good boy.
He's a good boy. And the babysitter, I like the babysitter. Those are the main things. So demons can steal money, demons can drive cars, demons can make you blind. I don't know. So, all right, let's kind of compare now because I'm running out of things to talk about with this movie other than negative things. But like comparing it to the remake, I like the remake better. It's definitely easier to watch because it's a whole like 40 minutes shorter.
Yeah, I like the remake better. It's faster. It gets the point across.
It
Everything that's
does.
in the first one is pretty much in the second one. It's
Right.
just done a little bit differently.
But there's ghosts. Like, why are you adding ghosts into the mix? This isn't a ghost movie. It's supposed to be a demon movie. These are supposed to be
Agreed.
demons. Like, why are there ghosts? So there's ghosts, and there's a ghost that's sad. Jody is sad because she wants a friend to play it with. Like,
Which is weird. And I mean, they did change certain things. Like in the remake, it seems like the husband from the first marriage died instead of them leaving, because they keep on talking about how they miss their dad, and they talk about how Jody says she's going to show baby Chloe Moritz her father if she jumps off the roof.
The whole
Shirtless Ryan
roof
Reynolds, by
thing.
the way,
Oh my God.
he's like shirtless this whole movie, which is like, I'll watch an hour and a half of that.
I'm not sad about it. I'm gonna be honest.
Just saying, like,
He's a nice looking
in
man.
the 70s we get tighty whitey shots with sweatshirts, and
In
in
2005, we get Ryan
2005,
Reynolds.
yeah, we get sweatpants
Welcome to the
and no
future,
shirt
ladies.
and sweaty bearded Ryan Reynolds.
Oh my God. That scene though, okay, so the one scene that I thought was the creepiest in this entire movie is when he's chopping wood and he's making the kid hold onto the wood. I was like, I can't watch this.
And he's just like straight up terrified. Oh my God, that's yeah.
That seemed more like the George Lutz that I hear about when Danny talks. I'm like, oh,
Yeah.
no fucking what reason. That's the reason you left when you were 15 years old.
Yeah,
Fuck that
totally.
noise. Rather be homeless too than deal with that shit.
Yeah. We have a super skanky babysitter telling the kids what happened.
What the fuck is with that babysitter?
Oh.
Like, no. That girl walks into your house and you're gonna let her watch your children. Like, how badly do you want to go on a date? Like,
They want to go on a date real bad. I don't know.
apparently.
It's so weird because, like, first of all, I like that we're talking about this like ghost slash demon movie, and we're like, unrealistic that they would let that lady watch her kids.
It's true, though.
Wouldn't happen. But like, what's her face's face when she walks in? She's like, what happened here?
Yeah.
Why is this woman not wearing any clothes to watch our children?
Very naked.
Yeah.
Like, you could have made her like sexy without making her naked, but whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, nobody would. I mean, maybe in the 70s people would do that, but I don't know. Can we be done talking about Amityville? I'm so over Amityville.
Yeah.
Let's talk about Ty
West. Climb, not our favorite.
Yeah.
But if we had to pick one to watch, we'd probably watch 2005.
Yeah, I agree. They're both on Hulu. You can watch them both if you want. But we didn't really spoil much. I mean, we kind of did, but not really. I mean, you probably know most of what we said anyway.
If you're a horror fan, chances are you've seen one of these movies, or you at least know the story.
For sure. And, 2005 is a little bit better. Yeah. Documentary is fine.
If you're interested in that kind of thing.
If you're into documentaries, yeah.
It's definitely more about psychology than the horror, yeah. I would say.
But it's honest and it's realistic.
I agree.
Yeah. It looks at it from multiple points of view, which is nice.
Yeah.
So no matter what you believe, I don't think you would necessarily be insulted. Because it doesn't necessarily say, oh, you believe in this shit, fuck you. And it doesn't necessarily say, like, there's no way this is real. You know? Yeah. Some of it's gotta be real. Like, no one picks up and leaves their house with everything in it. And refuses to go back in if nothing happened. Like, they didn't make money off of it. Like, their lives were ruined. There's no way you would do that to your children if there wasn't a fucking reason to do that.
Yeah. I do like that, because obviously there's, like, some naysayers in there. And they're like, oh, well, they were just, you know, they couldn't afford this house. And they were so in debt. And then the lady's like, they left after 28 days of living in the house.
Yeah.
Like, there's no way that they could have fallen behind when, like, they probably put down the, like, there wasn't even a full month to, like, require a next payment.
Exactly.
Like, they left before that even was, like, a thing.
Yeah. And if anything, that's not going to help you. Like, unless you can somehow market yourselves, which, fine. They went on a bunch of interviews, but they didn't make big money off of this.
Well, and they left all, like, every single one of their belongings in the house when they
left.
All
of it. They wouldn't go back in. In the Demonologist, I read the Demonologist a few years ago, but in the Demonologist, they talk about it. And I remember reading that, not knowing it really, and thinking, like, what? Like, I could never imagine, like, being that afraid to go back into a house that, like, my mother's jewelry or whatever, like, valuable possessions you have, like, you're like, fuck it, I don't want them. Like, I'm not going back in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, the fact that George Lutz was more into
the occult than he admitted.
Yeah, like, you know, just, like, little things where it's like, you know, like, who knows what's real and what's not, but it doesn't, it's not normal behavior. And it's
definitely
something fucking happened. One way or another, something fucking happened. Whether you believe in paranormal or not, they were fucking scared. So, all right, let's move on. Let's get out of Amityville. Leave Amityville alone.
Leave it behind and move on to another movie that
go back to Ty West. And now, before we start talking about The House of the Devil, which I'm really excited to talk about because I know previously I said one thing and I'm about to discuss that further, but I was listening to a really interesting interview with Ty West this morning, Carly, and I wanted to tell you about it because I know that you are like, oh, I'm a big Ty West fan, but Cabin Fever 2 is not, like, you can't, no. I want to say, so apparently Ty West made Cabin Fever 2, and then Lionsgate was like, we don't really like it. We're going to change all these things. And he's like, no, take my name off of it. And they wouldn't. So
Interesting. So
that's not his movie, girl. And he says he doesn't feel like it's his film. It's not the film he made. And he did what he could to try to get his name off of it. So I wouldn't let that stand against him. I'm really interested to watch his cut of it, though. Can we watch the real?
I like that about him.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I wish that we could. And you know what's funny? I live in LA. Ty West lives in LA. And there was like
so one you guys weekend. Are like besties.
We're totally best friends. But there was one weekend where like we were literally in the same place every single day because like I looked at his Instagram and I was like, oh, that's weird. Cause I was like, oh, I don't remember what it was, but I was like, oh, I like looked at like some hashtag or whatever and like found out that like Ty West was like somewhere. And then I was like, oh, that's so weird. Like we've been in the same place this many times because obviously like horror tends to draw the same amount of people.
That's true.
I'm just like, now that I know that, I just want to stalk him even more and be like, can I watch Cabin Fever 2 as it was meant to be seen?
Yes. Oh my God, if we could, I would be so into it.
I would be the most, if anybody knows Ty West out there and he has this magical cut of the film, or if anybody out there just has this magical cut of the film, I would love to see it.
Well, I doubt that it'll ever get released if Lionsgate has anything to say with it.
Well, I appreciate that fun fact, and it makes me really happy.
It makes me happy, too. And when I read that, I was like, oh, Carly's going to love to hear this because she hates that
movie.
And
I do. I'm so happy.
Because it doesn't feel like him. Like, he's so smart and does his own thing. To know that there's this movie out there with your name on it that you just hate, like, it's got to be terrible. I would be so sad. I feel bad for him. He's also a young filmmaker. Like, he has no money or power really to be had at that point in time when he made it. Because that came out before House of the Devil. It came out before he had like a real, or it didn't come out before, but he made it before, I think. Maybe not. That's it's sad. Around the same time though.
That's
so
really
like,
upsetting.
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about House of the Devil. Before we should I tell you what I thought about it the second time I saw it before we start, or should I wait till the end?
I want to know.
Okay.
But
so
whatever you feel comfortable with, I guess.
So initially, if you didn't hear last week's episode, initially I said that I didn't like House of the Devil the first time I saw it, which I only saw it once at that point. I didn't like it. I thought it was really slow and really boring, and the payoff wasn't that great. I'd like to eat those words a little bit because, okay, a little bit.
Yeah.
I don't think it's a perfect film. I think it's a really, really good film. And I think Ty West is super talented. There's no denying that. I don't think it's a perfect movie. People think it is, and I disagree. But I think something happened when I was watching it the first time in that I tuned out before stuff happened. And this time I pushed through and it was really, really effective and super great. The ending is amazing. But that being said, the film accomplishes what it set out to accomplishing. I was writing nothing but good notes the whole time I was watching it, but I was still fucking bored. Like I can't help it. Like when I'm writing my notes, I have like 5 pages of notes and everything is like, this is perfect. I love this. The set design's amazing. This is fantastic. And then it's just like, but I'm still bored. And you'll see that like every 3 pages, like I'm saying nothing but great things, but I'm still bored. And I think that that could just be a me thing because I like slow burner movies. And I like character pieces, but I still don't really feel like I know this character that I'm fucking sitting here staring at for an hour and a half, just going about her daily life. There's still no depth or anything interesting about her. I'm sorry, there's just not.
No, you're right. There's, for a slow movie, you usually get some sort of character development, but with this, she's pretty much the same the whole time. I felt like I knew more about her friend than I knew about her.
For sure. And maybe they made her boring on purpose, but at the end, she obviously has a lot of spirit and a lot of things happening, and she has a lot going on in her head, but I don't see that reflected in the film itself. And I just wish there was a little more. A little more would have done a lot for me. It would have kept me going a lot more. But, you know, when you're following one person, basically it feels like in real time, because really nothing happens for a lot of this movie. I just need more. I will eat my words. This movie is not bad. This movie isn't worse or worse than The Innkeepers. It's definitely better than The Innkeepers. And I will eat my words saying that. I think Ty West is super amazing. This this film fails a little bit for me, but I still really, really, really liked it this time. Like, I'll eat my words there.
I definitely 100% agree with you. It is really slow, and I feel like the second time I felt that more than the first time that I watched it. But there's also a tremendous amount of foreshadowing, which I didn't necessarily notice it before, obviously, because I didn't know where it was going.
Right.
But like when he, you know, on the phone says, like, I promise I'll make this as painless for you as possible. And then like he mentions like to the pizza on the fridge number like 18 times because
fucking
like
way too many times.
Yeah. It's like all part of the plan.
Right.
And
for
like,
sure.
Yeah. I liked it the second time as well. I think, you know, I definitely agree though that it not a lot of character building and it's a bit slow.
Yeah, for it to be a character piece, there needs to be more personality involved, and you just need a little bit more of a charismatic character to follow. I felt that charisma like towards the end of the film 100%, but I was like, where the fuck was this girl the whole time? Like. She doesn't, but I guess the whole point is she doesn't stand up for herself. Basically, the whole movie, her whole like solution to everything is to just ignore it or like figure something else out. Don't go head to head with your issues. Like, figure something else out. But there's not like what hobbies does she have?
Yeah, she just like, has the hobby of avoiding. Her weird roommate.
Yeah, there's no hobbies. Like, just a little bit of something would have gone a long way. Like,
yeah.
She's very reliant on her friend, which is great. I wished her friend lasted a little longer because she was more interesting to me.
But her, that death was awesome.
Yes, it was.
Because it was so out of nowhere.
So this film, we're gonna, before we go further, I just want to say spoiler alert coming ahead. So... FYI there. Let's go ahead and spoil the shit out of this movie.
Spoiler alert.
Wee-oo, wee-oo. That's the siren, right? That's like
spoiler alert, they really like pizza.
No, they don't. Because every time they eat pizza, they throw it out. They're, like,
they're really veggie pizza eaters. That's what I got. They really love pizza. But like, I get the first pizza might have been bad, but the second pizza was laced with whatever made her fall asleep.
Right. But it's just like, I don't know why they had to have pizza twice. Just pick something else.
I mean, I guess it makes sense. I remember babysitting and people being like, oh, you know, you can order a pizza if you want. I think it's just like what you do. I didn't because I was like the whole time I was like, what if she didn't like pizza? What if she was lactose intolerant? What would have happened?
That's true. What if she picked the cheese off?
Yeah.
Yeah. But she does. They do let her order it so she could order it any way she wanted to.
Yeah.
Did you like the extra anchovies part? What movie was that from? Oh, it's from Patrick Dempsey in Loverboy. Where it's like, if you ordered pizza with extra anchovies, that meant that you were going to get like some little something-something on the side.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. So I like that they reference that. That's cute. It was shot in 16mm, so it really does feel like a genuine 80s movie, and it has that. Feel I love the set design is flawless, like everything down to the fucking soap dispenser in the bathroom.
It looks amazing.
80s. The water bottle with like the bendy straw, I love that. Like, I freaked out over the freaking water bottle with the bendy straw when I was watching. I'm like, Tony, look at that! I had that same one. Like,
the attention to detail is awesome. You the will like that about the new Ouija movie.
Oh, will I? Yeah. The headphones with the orange foam.
That's, definitely the thing that caught my eye about the movie when I saw it. My friend Jason, who designed our logo, actually is the one that told me to watch this movie.
Oh, yeah.
And he was like, it's like the attention to detail is amazing. And so when I saw it, I was like, this is insane.
It's true.
It looks like it was... It's not a new movie. It looks like it's old.
100%. And the opening music with the title card. The title card, I love the freeze frame title card. And then, like, the Fast Times at Ridgemont High music. You know, like, the song where Phoebe Cates, like, gets out of the pool and she's, like, all, like, naked. And it's, like, every boy's fantasy in the 80s. It's, like,
it's like you're not music. Getting ready to watch a horror movie. This is a great college... You know, movie, whatever.
And I was watching this like early in the morning, like yesterday or something. And And that music happened. My husband was sleeping, and he like pokes his little head out. He's like, "Ooh, are you watching Fast Times?" I'm like, "No, pervert, go back in your room."
But yeah, like he was probably one of the first people to do this.
Oh yeah.
Now everybody's doing the OG title cards and making things seem old.
Yeah,
in
I mean,
every
I don't know.
Way.
I don't know if he's the first, but he definitely did it really well. And
yeah.
Although, like the slow burner part of it is not 80s at all to me. That no. screams 70s to me.
Yes.
So it's kind of weird. Like, it's hard to excuse that part of it by saying, oh, it's just like an 80s movie. Because maybe an early, early 80s movie. But it reminds me more of, like, a 70s movie when it does that. Because 70s films tend to be really slow, have a lot of storyline. And I feel like we kind of have steered away from that. Not that we don't have stories anymore, but there's a lot more like scares, jumps, and things like that thrown in mm-hmm. the mix earlier in the movie.
Maybe they were building because I guess it's 1983.
Yeah,
so it's early 80s. So I mean,
it's true. It's amazing how much Jocelyn Donahue and Margot Kidder look the same. Both of our female actors that are starring in these roles that we're talking about today, they look kind of similar.
They have very similar hair.
Yeah, like I was like, because when I've never seen Jocelyn Donahue before. Like, I'm not really like familiar with the movies and the roles she's played before.
Me either.
But she looks so familiar. You know, when you're watching it, you're like, I know her, right? And it's like, no, you don't. Like, they did a really good. They picked her. They must have picked her because she looks like. She definitely reminds me of Margot Kidder in like Black Christmas almost. Like she has that kind of look to her. I love it.
But yes, you are correct. The two leading ladies definitely shared a lot of similarities.
And the covers of both of these movies look very similar.
Very similar.
Like when I was putting them up on Twitter and Facebook to give the watch ahead for next week, and I got both of the posters and I put them side by side. I'm like, it's kind of crazy how much these look alike. Like, I did not, like, we picked these movies kind of last minute too. So it's kind of funny how there's so many similarities, and we're definitely doing like a haunted house vibe, this month, which is good. It's good for Halloween to do that, but it's kind of coincidental. We're not that good at planning ahead.
Yeah.
It just happened that way. Yay. Hooray for happy accidents.
I really like Tom Noonan.
Oh my God. Yes.
In this movie.
I was just going to talk about him because he's fantastic in this.
His, like, calm demeanor, the way he talks is
so
just
creepy.
So, yeah, it's so creepy. And, like, I don't know. I mean, granted, $400 for, like, 4 hours of work is so much money. Like, yeah. For babysitting an old person.
Yeah.
But, like, I don't think I would have stayed. I feel like I would have been real creeped out.
Yeah, no, spell. It's good that they made her so desperate for the money because...
Mm-hmm. They needed to.
They needed to. Yeah, there's no way anyone else would... You have your best friend saying, no, fuck no, this is not okay. I'll get my daddy to give you the money. She probably should have taken that out, by the way. But also, like, when they just arrive at the door and he's like, oh, such pretty girls, I would have been out at that point. Like, no, yeah. I'm not coming in your house. You're creepy. You're a million years old and you just call me pretty and it creeps me out.
There's no way you have a child.
Yeah. Dear old men, girls don't like it when you call them pretty. It's creepy. Don't do it. Just don't comment on the looks at all. Just let it go. I hate that.
I don't think I've seen Tom Noonan in anything since, like, Last Action Hero. He was the Ripper, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
And I loved that movie when I was little.
He's so deliberate when he talks, and he takes all these pauses that are like, they seem excessive, but it gives such a creepy vibe. Like, I just really love how he did
this
character.
He's so believable.
He is very believable, for sure. His wife, what's her name? I forget the actress's name, but she's also very good. She overacts.
Mary Warrenov?
Yes.
Yeah.
She overacts only slightly because that's what that character would have done, especially mm-hmm. in an 80s film. And the furs and, like, her whole way of being, like, like, I feel like that was a choice and that she's not really overacting. Like, I feel like that was definitely deliberate and effective and kind of fun and nostalgic.
Oh, definitely.
For me to watch. And the strings when she's talking, like, you're like, ooh, okay, so there's something creepy's going on.
Yeah, she's not a right character, basically.
Yeah. Now, can you explain to me the Volvo thing? Because I feel like I missed something there.
Oh, I just thought she was like, oh, you know, Volvo's most reliable car on the road, and then it breaks down 2 seconds later.
When she finds the picture frame with the Volvo, and she goes outside to look for the Volvo, wasn't there like a thing, like, that she got creeped out at that point, and I didn't understand why.
I thought she got creeped out because of the van.
But, okay, so let's back up for a second. She's having her, like, risky business moment where she's dancing around the house and she knocks over the vase and she's cleaning it up. She opens the closet and she sees the furs. So maybe that's what really creeps her out, but she sees the furs and she remembers, she said her furs were in the basement. First of all, no one keeps their furs in the basement. That's really weird, especially in a giant house like that. But okay, fine. You leave your furs in the basement. So she realized there's furs right here. And then she starts going through stuff. I don't know why. And then she finds a picture frame with a family in front of a Volvo. And she gets kind of weirded out by it. And I feel like she goes outside to look for the Volvo. And I don't know why. I feel like I missed something there. If you're listening and you know what the hell I'm talking about.
No, you're right. There is something with that. I just looked it up because I was curious, because I knew what you were talking about. And I remember that confusing me, too, because the reason she went outside and I thought she was just creeped out because the van was there.
Well, that would creep anyone out. But she went out for a reason. You know what I mean? Like, that was the reason she went out and she was already creeped out.
Okay, so from Wikipedia, and we can leave this in or just whatever.
Okay.
After ordering a pizza, Samantha dances around the house while listening to her Walkman, accidentally breaking a vase in the process. Mm-hmm. While cleaning up the mess, she discovers a cupboard filled with the old family photographs. In one photograph, a different family than the Ullmans stands mm-hmm. next to the Volvo she and Megan saw upon pulling up to the house.
Okay, got it.
An additional peculiar detail is that the family in the photograph has a young son. This seems unlikely as the Volvo is a new car, and Mr. Ullman stated that although they had a child, he is now grown up. And Samantha draws a rash conclusion that Ullman has possibly murdered the original mansion owners and stolen the car. In a panic, she dials 911, but eventually manages to calm herself down.
Got it.
The pizza is finally delivered by the stranger who had killed Megan.
They could have done a better job of that, right?
Yeah, I had no idea that that's what that meant.
That was the one part where I was like, wait, I don't, like, you're moving so slow, and then all of a sudden, what? Wait, what just happened? Which it totally makes sense now that you said it. And when I saw the picture, I remember being like, okay, well, that's a family photo. That's obviously not their family. And that car, sure, they show that that's the Volvo. But that could be anybody. That could be, like, a cousin, uncle, aunt. Like, I don't think I would have gotten freaked out by that.
Where I'm torn about this. Is I didn't understand that that's what happened.
Right.
But at the same time, if she would have, like, said it to herself, I would have been like, well, that's, like, that's exaggerated.
Well,
you
see,
know what I mean?
I thought the fact that she said, but she said their furs were in the basement. I thought that was a little on the nose. Like, I figured that one out, like, without her saying anything. If they didn't have her say anything and been, like, give, like, a weird look looking at the furs and then found the picture and then said, who are these people?
Yeah.
Like, then I would have been like, oh, okay. Like, that would have helped more. You don't have to say the thing about the furs. Maybe say the thing about the Volvo. Again, nitpicky, but...
Okay, so then this makes so much more sense to me.
What?
Because now when she goes up to check on the woman and it shows the dead people in the next thing, that's probably the family of the house that they murdered.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's gotta be, right?
Yeah.
But the boy is their son, right? I thought the boy was their son, the guy with the beard.
Yeah, the guy with the beard is their son.
Yeah.
But there was, like, a younger child in the picture.
That's right. Nope, you're right.
Who was murdered.
Got it. And then mom is a crazy looking bitch.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a broad. I don't know.
What's abroad?
What abroad? So she has a risky business moment. This whole scene, this whole process is painful as fuck for me. I'm just gonna be honest. Going through each room and playing with the pool table and putting the glasses on, and that doesn't give her personality, and it makes me bored. That's when I toned out the first time I watched it. I was playing on my phone, I was doing something else, reading a book, who knows what the fuck I was doing, having a side conversation because I missed the shit that happened after that. And I remember like the very end where she's in the graveyard and like the Rosemary's Baby ending, but I didn't catch the crazy shit. Like, I kind of remembered a pentagram, but I already tuned out. I already was over it. So, the second time when I powered through, I think if there's just like a little less of that, I would have been in it the first time. But again, like, who am I to tear apart someone's art? I'm just saying for me, that's kind of what happened. But yeah, the payoff is that scene is terrifying. Holy shit. And I wrote, how did I miss this before? Like, how?
That's why when you were like, I didn't like this movie, I was like, but you had to have liked the end because, like, shit gets real. Like, it gets.
And honestly, the part I remembered zero of that part because I think I went to the bathroom, I got a slice of pizza, I was talking to my mom on the phone or texting my husband. Like, I don't know what I was doing, but it was not watching that part because I do not remember any of it. And I was like, oh, that's why everyone loves it. I fucking get it now. Okay, I'm in, I'm in, I'm in. No, it's perfect. It's probably one of the most terrifying scenes I've ever seen. Like it was very effective. The mother is crazy looking. Like, okay, so those people are old. They're like in their 70s, I would assume. They're probably in their 70s. So like her mother, like first of all, you should have been like something's up when they said her mom, because if that woman's in her 70s, that mom is old, 90s. 90s,
Old,
right?
old.
Yeah. So, and she looks it, but she also looks like not
She also,
human.
yeah, she definitely looks demonic.
She has like super sunken in eyes. The
Her
makeup's
nose is
fantastic.
weird.
Her hair, it's just stringy and freaking creepy as all. I'm thinking about it, I'm getting chills. Like, I was like, oh, this is so creepy. And drinking the blood out of the skull of the horse or whatever the fuck that was, and the oh, bleh. And she, tr I mean, Samantha turned out to be an amazing final girl, like kicking
She shoots
ass.
herself in the head, too, which is amazing.
And survives,
She, I'm still
which is
wondering how she slices AJ Bowen's throat. I felt like she was too far away, but whatever. He was gonna
like the
shoot her.
tip of the knife, maybe.
Yeah, it got him.
Yeah, it was a big knife. And I don't know. I really liked the end a lot, and I don't know how I missed it. My sincere apologies for last week's comments because I'm eating those words now. The end, the payoff at the end is there. It's there for sure. I
I
still
really
stand by it
wish
being a little too fucking boring, but
it is. I
I'll put
wish
that
that we got
aside.
more of AJ Bowen's character, the son, in it.
Yeah. Well, he's the only one that doesn't like it's it follows Samantha the whole time, except for those brief glimpses of him. So
Some of my favorite interactions were the ones that he had, like with the roommate. And or not the roommate, the friend, and he killing her. And then even just watching him outside of the house after he delivers the pizza. It's just so creepy.
No, but it's great too, because you see how excited he is.
Yeah.
Like
He's a great actor.
he genuinely, like the way he played it was interesting and different than what I think most people would do. Although I'm not an actor, so what do I know? But I would assume if I was playing that role, I'd be like, hey, I'm a shitty actor, obviously. But like, I'm creepy, I'm gonna get you. But he's like genuinely excited about what's gonna happen and is looking at her, like he should look at her for what the ending is, and basically respectful and nice to her, but also like this shit's happening and And you know, I don't know. I like the way he played it for sure. I wish there was more of him too. I agree.
Well, he's great. He's been in quite a few movies that we've done. He was in The Sacrament. He was in The Guest. Another movie that I really like. He was in Your Next
Oh
by
yeah.
the guys that did.
Adam Wingard likes him too, I guess. Which is fun. I feel like I wish Ki-Taï West and like Adam Wingard make like
Team.
a movie together that's not like an anthology movie. That would be so cool. Or like do something like they did like with Tarantino and Eli Roth. You know, like do like a double feature that's like mixed together, like a Grindhouse thing. That would be really not Grindhouse, but you know what I mean, like what Grindhouse was. Like how much fun would that be?
That
Every
would be really cool.
horror fan would be super into that.
I would be
I
super
would
into
be super into it. Maybe not every horror fan, but I would be super into
that.
it. Because these are the two most exciting directors we have right now. They're the only
Agreed.
ones doing super interesting creative things. Let's pretend Blair Witch didn't happen.
It's totally true. I really like Ty West's like little nod, because basically you have essentially, I would say, two main characters in this movie. I think the old man and Samantha,
Samantha. Well,
right?
her real name's Jocelyn.
Her real name's Jocelyn,
Samantha.
are like the two kind of main characters. But I really appreciate that that Dee Wallace was the realtor from Critters, The Howling, Cujo, E.T. Like,
Yeah, super
I love
cool.
cameos like that. That's so
Yeah, super
freaking
cool. Yeah.
awesome. My hat's off to Ty West. I like.
He always pays homage to like the old movies, even
Yeah.
if it's like it's and it's never like by copying.
Right.
He's very good at that. I really like that. Adam Wingard's good at that too. You know, like it's not on the nose, but if you're a fan, like you recognize these little things and appreciate it. I
I
love
love
that. I
it. It
love that
makes me
too.
so happy, because
It
just seeing
does.
those things, they're like, ooh,
Well, it's
hello.
almost like they do it for themselves, you know? Like it's not even for the fans, like it's just something they want to do. And I really
Totally.
appreciate and love that.
Me too.
All right, let's wrap up House of the Devil for now and talk about Innkeepers as promised for our listeners from last week's episode.
So I felt the same way about it.
Yeah, you felt the same.
Yeah.
I kind of did too. Like mine.
I felt like I didn't understand the premise of them trying to save her.
I agree that it didn't necessarily seem like they were saving her, but I also don't feel like it necessarily felt like they weren't trying to save her in terms of the ghosts in the hotel.
I'll give you
Hopefully,
the husband.
yeah.
Like, I feel like maybe
For
him
our
just
list,
being a
let me just say
naked,
this.
terrifying ghost.
For our listeners that didn't listen to last week's episode, Carly and I had a big argument about whether or not the ending of this movie makes real sense or not. And I tend to think that the ghosts are kind of trying to save Claire, and Carly tends to believe that the ghosts aren't trying to save Claire. So we both agreed to rewatch the ending and see if we felt differently about it because I didn't really remember it very clearly. And while I agree
I
that
feel like they're straight up trying to kill her.
I don't think they're trying to kill her, but I don't think they're trying to avoid it because Lee even said, you know, there's nothing we can do. You know, at first she thought there was something they could do, and then towards the end she's like, we can't save her.
I
So
think that's what's confusing, is that they could save her. All they had to do was keep her out of the basement, right? But then
for
the
sure.
ghost of the lady calls her down into the basement.
I agree, it's very convoluted. I'm not necessarily saying it's the best writing in the world, but it makes for a good ending. I think it's like a cool kind of, oh, she's the third ghost and but I agree. Okay, so if they just didn't say at the beginning they're trying to save her, you
Yeah, if
would
they
be
took that out,
100% fine with this movie.
I'd be on board. I'd probably. I still think
Okay.
that Sarah Paxton overacts a little bit,
All
but
right. Well, that's fine.
I'm good with everything else.
That's fair. Your assessment's fair. I'm okay with it because I mean, never trust a ghost. Why are you trusting ghosts so much?
Liars. But well, I mean, because if they told her to not to go into the basement, I mean, that's a trustworthy statement. Don't go into the basement. She would have been fine.
And she went in there anyway. I mean, she's dumb. Oh, she didn't really go in. I guess she fell in, but she went near it. Just don't even go near it. They should have just
a dead man.
Yeah, they should have just made her go outside and wait.
Yeah,
just wait outside. Do not go inside. Don't go anywhere near the basement. Just stay away from it. Okay, let's move on. Let's get out of here. We agree to. I mean, we technically agree. We technically agree, we just have different feelings about it, and that's 100% fine. Okay, so that's it for this episode. This is a really long episode. Thanks for sticking in so long, guys. I just have a few more things I want to discuss. I want to talk about how and see how your 31 in 31 are going. What's your plan for today? Did you watch one yet?
Today, I think it's going to be The Cabin in the Woods.
Okay, cool. You
didn't watch
that
yet. Yesterday, I actually went to Target and got the Crazies.
Yeah, I watched it last night, Carly.
Yeah.
I really liked it. I thought it was really fun. I want to watch the original now because I've never seen the original either. But I heard that it's kind of different, you know? So I'm down. I really liked it. It really wasn't anything like what I thought it was going to be. I told Carly, like, she was like, have you seen The Crazies? And I was like, no, because isn't that like a crazy home invasion movie? I was thinking of The Strangers, I think.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not, of course. You're like, no, it's like a virus thing. I'm like, is it like zombies? And you're like, not really. So it's like, oh, okay, I'll check it out. Because zombies are not my thing. Like,
yeah.
It's not that I don't like zombies. I'm just so burnt out on all the zombie shit. Like, I can't even watch Walking Dead anymore. I'm just so tired of it. It's like the same shit over and over again. And I'm bored.
Yeah. I will say I definitely watched The Walking Dead for the characters and not the zombies. I feel like the zombies are a footnote.
That's true. That's true. It's more like apocalyptic now.
It's more like people being dicks to other people.
To them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I know I'll finish it eventually. I feel like I'm going to wait till the whole thing is over and then binge it.
I'm excited because it's coming back. And like, while I don't really care that it's like a new episode, I just want to know who dies.
Yeah, that's what everyone's saying. I don't
really care what happens other than I want to know. I want to know.
I fell off the boat, I think, like last season or maybe the season before. After Terminus. No, it was way after Terminus. It was the hospital. Beth at the hospital. After that, I fell off the boat. Gotcha. But I will catch up eventually. It's just not high on my list of priorities right now. Sure. I did get to go see Halloween on the big screen today.
Yay!
That was so much fun. The original John Carpenter Halloween. Oh my God. I've never gotten to see it on the big screen. And this theater's doing a lot more horror movies now. And they're going to be doing the original A Nightmare on Elm Street in 2 weeks. So
yes!
I'm stoked. Yeah.
That's so awesome.
Like all my old favorites.
Old horror movies on the big screen. It just is so much fun.
I don't think it's 35 millimeter, but it's still
okay.
It's still fun. And the theater, it's like an old theater in Kensington, up in San Diego, and or down in San Diego from you. And it's a great, great old theater, like really old theater, has the old like marquee and everything. It's just one screen. That's all they have. And like this little teeny tiny bathroom. I love that place. It's the only like authentic old school theater we have in San Diego. And
that's awesome.
And they play mostly independent or like really old movies. So they do a midnight movie series in the summer, usually. But I'm getting fucking old, man. And going to midnight movies is exhausting. And
I love it.
I love it too, to do it like once a year. But when they're playing stuff,
I'm good. It's just getting there.
But like staying up that late.
I leave my house at like 11:30 at night.
Fuck, no, I don't either. And it's not like it's near my house. Like it is, but it's still like a 20-minute drive. I'm like, ugh. Like, and the parking's not always great. I love that they're doing it. They're still doing midnight movies and they're extending it past summer. Obviously, it's not summer anymore. But then they're re-showing that movie again on Sundays at 11, like in the morning. So I'm like, oh, I can do that all day. Like
for the old people.
For the old people,
the old
like
people
me.
Cafe.
I fully admit that I'm old and lame and I'm totally okay with it. I mean, I do enjoy going to, it's a totally a different like experience going at midnight and you have like a fun audience, but you know, like I went to see Jaws there, probably like 4 or 5 years ago. It's a long time ago, but actually longer than that actually. But, like people brought beach balls and they're like hitting beach balls around during the movie and like, you know, saying all the lines and it's yes. just, it's so much fun, but like,
I love it. See, that is true, is that you do get that crowd at midnight. That sounds really similar to the New Bev that's by my house. They always play old movies. Yeah. And it's the same thing. It's like you go there and the other people that go there just genuinely love these movies. And so it's just a really fun atmosphere and it's just great to be around.
Yeah. We have this new great group in Southern California, in San Diego, called Horrible Imaginings. And they do all different kinds of horror related events down here. They do like, you know, movie screenings, and they're just starting to do more and more. They do like plays, I think. They had an art show that I went to a few weeks ago. So I'm trying to like talk to the guy that runs that. I think his name's Miguel. And I met him and he's super nice. So I want to do more stuff with them and maybe even have someone on for an interview and push for it, because I really would love to see more horror stuff in San Diego. Just for my own benefit and for nothing else.
Like, totally.
But,
no, that's awesome.
But I'm stoked.
You know that there's other people that'll enjoy it.
Well, I'm just stoked that, like, someone's really taking initiative and, like, pushing for it. And I told them, like, I'll help, dude. Like, I'm so stoked for you and, like, what you're doing. And hopefully I'm going to send him another message and see if I can help out with some activities and maybe do some interviews and stuff. Because I know they're doing, like, they're doing some legit horror film festivals, so that's exciting stuff.
Yay, you'll have to let me know. Maybe I'll come down.
I will. Yeah, that would be super fun. Okay, so moving on from that, any other 31 and 31 movies you want to talk about that you watched?
Not really. I rewatched. Yeah.
It's like a lot of
Cabin
rewatching.
Fever, and it was like not my favorite again, but yeah. I feel like it was fine. I feel like I remember it being worse. So that's good, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what? I think I only saw it once, and it was when it came out. But yeah. I remember not hating it. I thought the ending was kind of... I remember the twist ending still to this day, yeah. So that's a good sign.
It was fun. There's, like, some funny parts in it.
Yeah.
It was kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I was fine with it.
Yeah.
Which is good.
Definitely.
But, yeah, it's, like, a lot of rewatching, because I'm mostly watching what's available to me on streaming.
Right.
I haven't really gotten into a lot of, I don't know.
New watches?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm trying to do at least 2 or 3 new watches a week. So I have been watching a lot of newer, like new to me horror movies, not new horror movies. A lot of them are like old movies that a lot of horror fans have seen that I just have missed the boat on. So The Crazies was a good one. I want to go watch the original. And then I watched Haxan, which is like an old 20s movie, which is crazy and awesome and on Hulu. It's really long, but there's some really cool parts. You can fast forward through most of it. but there's like, you know, there's so many like even just stuff on Hulu that I haven't seen that I'm like, oh, I should probably watch that. So
Hulu
it's really
a lot of stuff right now.
So, I mean, 31 and 31 is exhausting. Like watching a horror movie a day when you're working full time and dealing with life, it's difficult for me. I'm used to like when we started this podcast and we started doing two movies an episode, I was like, fuck, I would watch 2 movies a week. Like I thought that was a lot. So this is like it going back to that's going to be like heaven compared to this now. Not that I don't like it. It's just exhausting.
It's just weird when you like have to do it, because I'm like, oh gosh, I have to watch a movie right now.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, the weekends, it's totally fine. It's during the week that it's I'm like, what am I going to watch? I don't even know. So I'm just going to put on, I watch Killer Clowns in Outer Space one night because it's like, I do not even want to watch a horror movie right now. And I was like, this I've seen a million times and it's silly. Like I can just put it on and it's not a thing, but oh, fuck. And I was packing. I'm going on a work trip. I posted a picture on Twitter of like just I had to pack horror movies. I'm like, fuck, I still have to watch horror movies just because I'm traveling doesn't give me an excuse not to watch them. So
I'm
like,
do it.
Anyway, but it's been fun. Like, I like it. I'm pushing myself to watch more stuff, which is always good. And yeah. So, OK, moving on. Black Mirror. Yes. Carly, did you get to watch any yet?
Yeah, I watched three episodes, I think.
Oh, I watched the first three also. Oh
Yay!
my God, love them.
I felt so bad for Bryce Dallas Howard in the first one.
Yes,
Poor girl.
I know. That one is sad. Although they're all really, like, I felt really bad for the second guy, the guy in the second episode. I was like, oh my God, my heart broke.
Which one was the second episode?
That's the one where he's like in the video game.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
Yes.
like that's a sad, really sad episode. I got and the third one I just finished right before we started recording, and it's like
Crazy, right?
so great. I really, really liked it.
It was
Spoiler alert, no
crazy.
spoilers, no spoilers. Watch it. Oh
No
my God, you guys, watch
spoilers.
the new Black Mirror. It's
It's
so,
really, really
I
good.
can't
It's funny because
believe how like creative and interesting it is. Like
Yeah.
really, really, really amazing. So stoked on it. And I'm telling everyone, like not just horror movie people, like everyone should watch it. It's just that good. Okay, let's keep going. We're almost done, guys. Stick with us. Halloween episode. Our Halloween episode is next week. We are doing Trick or Treat and Hocus Pocus. Me and Carly's favorite Halloween films to watch.
I'm so
Amongst
excited.
others. I mean, obviously the old school Halloween. So these movies aren't streaming, but I assume most of you have watched them. If you haven't seen Hocus Pocus, like, we're not gonna spoil it for you at this point. It's like, I don't know what to say
That's
about
your
that.
fault.
Yeah, you
That was
got
your fault.
it. You know, I just love them. I'm so excited to watch those this week. That'll be really
Me
fun.
too.
We're also trying to organize a live tweet for the 30th, this coming Sunday. So if you're interested, just keep your eyes peeled on Twitter, and I'll announce it on Facebook and probably Instagram also, with the details on that. I think trying to get Sean from the horror show to join us. I know Joe is busy. The girls in the back row, I think will be joining us, as well as Coming to Get You podcast, our UK friends over there. So we'll try to pick a time that's somewhat not garbage for our friends over in jolly old England. Is that something people say?
Why
Yeah.
not? Sure. Yes.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry, our British friends. I didn't mean to say that. I take it back. I love you guys. We have so many UK listeners. Like, not a lot, but I mean a lot for us in comparison to like the rest of our audience. It's like the US has the most, but then it's like we have like I would think at least like it's definitely a significant portion of the pie piece. So thank you, UK listeners. Thanks for tuning in. We love you
Yeah,
guys. And I'm
you
sure not
too.
everything that we talk about that streaming is available for you guys. So if there's stuff that is easier for you to watch, like let me know. Or if something's
Let us
not, like
know.
let us know. We'll try to be more accommodating to you folks. Thanks for tuning in. Okay, so I think that's it. Nothing else to really talk about right now. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song so we can sing sync with whoa, sequencing the
Nailed
drone. Got it. Shut up,
it.
Carly. And Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for contact information. You can also follow us on Twitter, Final Girls HC. We're also on Instagram and Facebook. You can just search for us there. Please, please email us, finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. We love email. Send us
Yay!
emails.
Lots of mails.
Lots of mails, all the mails. Thanks, guys. Thanks for listening. We love
Yeah,
you.
have a great week.
Have a lovely, lovely October week. Carve some pumpkins. Do some
All the
spook. Go
pumpkins,
to
trick or
some
treat.
haunted events.
I'm going to Mickey's Halloween party on Wednesday. I'm really excited about it at Disneyland.
You're so annoying. You have all the fun. I keep getting mad about it.
Can't help it.
Okay, we have to get off now.
Okay.
These people do not want to listen to us talk anymore. Okay, thanks, bye.
Bye.